dismissed at this
time. No. Children, wait for the memory verse. You may be seated, everyone. Elder Peter, thank you for leading us in the time of prayer. Just want to acknowledge one more time. In the life of a congregation, in the body of Christ, in the local church, the family of God, we do life together. See that logo there, the slogan, doing life together at Mosaic House Church? And that's why we follow Jesus together. We worship Jesus together. We serve Jesus together. And as the body of Christ, we rejoice together and we cry together. I just want to say, highlight, congratulate Jonah. Jonah, there. Engaged. Alexa, engaged. No, sorry. Ava. Congratulations. Who knows, Alexa? Maybe you know something we don't. Boys and girls, before we send you off to the kids' house, let's do the memory verse together, everyone. I am so honored that the Holy Spirit inspired and challenged me to grow deep and wide in the scriptures this year. So 2024, church season, and 2025, church season, we are declaring it. We're going to grow deep and wide in the word of the Lord. And I am being inspired. I am being challenged at the same time. And that's why I invite you to be inspired. I invite you to be challenged to grow deep and wide in the word of the Lord. All right? And that's why we do memory verse. I have heard from a number of you saying, hey, that weekly memory verse, that's really helping me. My sons and daughters, they are challenging me. Mommy and daddy, have you memorized the memory verse? You've memorized it. Okay, mom, okay, dad, way to go. And I've heard from everyone. You know, at first, not sure, but having done this number of weeks, it's really becoming a rhythm in my week. So let's do that. Last week, the memory verse is from Deuteronomy chapter 8. Did I see a show of hands? Did someone? Okay. Tice, have you? Now, before you raise your hand, if you haven't memorized it, don't raise your hand. Have you? You want to come up? Well, come on up. Bring a mic with you. There. Tice, how old are you?
Nine.
He's nine. Who said that?
Me.
Dre? Dre, did you say Tice, your brother, is nine?
Yeah, nine.
All right. Put your mic right on your chin. Stay next to me. Okay? We're going to start with the reference first. Don't help him out because there's a prize. His father is a dentist. He loved me. Yeah. So take it away. Help us.
Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3.
Shall we do it together with you? Okay, everyone, let's say it together, the memory verse of the week from last week. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Stick around. The new memory verse for this week is from Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Okay? Would you help us with this? Okay? Let's read it together with the reference, the verse, ending with the reference. Romans 5, 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5, 5 chapter 8. Very good. Share this with someone else. Okay. All right, boys and girls, have a wonderful time. Everyone follow Tice and Miss Alexa, Miss Ava, and have a wonderful time. We resume in the book of Romans. We are calling it a journey through Romans. We have covered chapters 1 through 4, and this morning we kick off the chapters 5 to 8, and we are calling this part of the book of Romans Restored and Renewed. Before we read the scripture, I want to show a couple of slides, in fact, 4 to be slides. First slide. What do you see? It's a war between two nations, Ukraine and Russia. No doubt every one of us has heard about this struggle. Next slide, please. It's a picture of a woman in Ukraine. You see the devastation, the destruction behind her. And as you look at her face, what do you feel? Hopelessness. Next slide, please. What do you see? A war between two peoples, the Israelis and the Palestinians. The things that we have heard, the things that we have seen, unimaginable. Next slide, please. What do you feel? Sorrow. Okay. The reason I've shown these slides is I need you to be stretched in your imagination. Not just any imagination, biblical imagination. The Bible was written inspired by the Holy Spirit, and in it, the Holy Spirit describes the relationship between the Holy God and us. And it uses different imageries, different cultural, literary articulations and descriptions. Like, God is like a shepherd, and we are a lost sheep. Or, God is like a father waiting for the son to come home. Or, God is like a woman who's looking for that precious coin, which will complete her precious necklace. And she's looking for that coin. But there's another analogy or description that portrays who we are to God and who God is to us. And that's what Romans chapter 5 is all about. And I doubt that many of us actually spend time in this analogy. That is this. The Holy Spirit says, we and the Lord God, the Holy One, are at war. We made God, we declared a war on him, against him, and we made him an enemy of ours. We don't hear that often, do you? I became born again, even though I was raised in a Christian home, even though I was raised in the Christian values, I became a believer much later in my life, third year in my university. That's when I was born again. That's when the Holy Spirit took hold of me, and the Holy Spirit brought me before the throne of grace, and he knelt me down before the Lord Jesus. Now, prior to that, I would not have said to you, even though I wasn't sure about God, even though I wasn't convinced about the person and the claims of Jesus Christ, even though I am indifferent about the Bible and the things of God, I would have never said to you, oh, by the way, since I'm not a believer, I made God my enemy. Oh, by the way, since I don't put my faith in Jesus Christ, I have declared a war against the Lord. I would have never said that. Oh, indifferent, of course. Not convinced, of course. Unsure, of course. But I would have never said, he's my enemy. But that's exactly what you're going to find out if you haven't already in Romans chapter 5. So let's go there. Let's go there. I invite you to utilize the sermon notes. You will find a QR code in front of you. You know what to do. And after the sermon is completed, you get to submit your questions to this number. I am anticipating some dialogue engagement with you on this topic. So please make note of that phone number. Romans chapter 5, starting at verse 1. People of God, hear the word of the Lord. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace, not of God, peace with God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, just at the right time. At what time? Noon? 1 p.m.? At what time? Just at the right time. When we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. Would you read verse 8 with me, the memory verse? But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. Father in heaven, the Lord God Almighty, we call upon the name of Jesus, your Son, the name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. There is no other name. And by the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, we ask, we demand that you send your Holy Spirit to each and everyone in this room, to each and everyone who is listening and worshiping online. Would you open our eyes? Open our ears? Open our hearts? Lead us to Jesus all the more. Amen. Write these words in your sermon outline. Here's the theme. Very simple, very clear, very succinct. It's verse 1. Christ Jesus reconciled God and us and brought peace. Christ Jesus reconciled God and you and me, and he brought peace. And I want to unpack this truth and this grace. First point. Start with the bad news. The trouble in the world of God is this. We declare God our enemy and waged a war against him. That's right. I need you to feel like, I don't know if I agree. That's putting it really too harshly. I need you to feel, is that true? Have I actually done this? Romans 8, verse 7. The mind governed by the flesh, that is to say, flesh refers to our fallen nature. Before you become regenerate, before you are born again by the power of the Holy Spirit, before you call yourself your own king, as it were, that refers to flesh as opposed to the Spirit of God. In your mind, you are hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. You are not indifferent. You're not, not sure about God, not sure about Jesus, not sure about the Bible. You have a certain visceral disposition and orientation toward God and Christ. And that is, you are hostile. The King James Version translation puts it this. Because the carnal mind, the flesh, is, what's the word there? Say it. Enmity, from which we get the word enemy. Your mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. One more reference. Colossians, same author, Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote this. Once you were alienated from God and you were, say the word, enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. Okay, now here. Let me take you to Romans chapter 1, where it all began. If there's only one book you could read from the Bible, I'm going to say read and understand Romans. In chapter 1, it declares this. Even though the Lord God created you, even though you knew in your mind, in your soul, in your spirit that there is the Creator God, and in your mind you already knew, everyone knows, whether you have read the Bible or not, whether you were born in Tibet or in the Netherlands, every human being born knows in his or her heart there is the Lord. That's Romans 1. No one can deny it. However, we in our flesh, we in our carnal mind, we in our rebellion against this holy God, loving God, the true God, we, Romans 1, suppress the truth. Say suppress. You know what it means? It means something is there, but you are pushing it down. You're pushing it down. Like when you open a jar of pickles and it's overflowing. What do? You push it down. You suppress it so it doesn't overflow. That's the exact concept. Though we knew there is God, though we knew we should worship Him, though we knew that He is worthy of our glory, we suppress the truth and we denied Him and we chose not to glorify Him. And therefore, the consequence, Romans 1 again, the wrath of God is unleashed. The God's wrath is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of Victor Ko. It's not that God waged war against me. It's not that God brought about this enmity. No, it is I. Okay. Still not convinced. Okay. All right. Let me try this. Would you say Satan declared a war against God? Okay. Would you say there is a hostility between the Satan and God? Yes. And you know how that happened? Satan wasn't always Satan. Previously, there was a glorious angel, an archangel, the likes of Michael, Gabriel, and there was Lucifer, magnificent angels whom God created. Lucifer, here's what he did. I don't want to serve God. I am not really enjoying being number two. The Lord is number one. Oh, He's God Almighty. And it's not sitting well with me. So you know what He did? He revolted, took one third of angels and rebelled against God. They declared a war. They said, we rather be number one in hell than number two in heaven. And guess what Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden? That's exactly what they did. We don't want to serve you. We want to serve ourselves. We don't want you to tell us what's right and wrong. We don't want you to tell us what's good and bad. We want to do that ourselves. And that's exactly what happened. You know what that means? In essence, Adam and Eve, the ultimate sin against God is this. We don't want you to be our God. We want ourselves to be our own God. And every human being on the face of the earth, every human being who was born said exactly the same thing. I rather not serve you, but serve me. I rather dictate myself, my life, according to how I see fit. I want to be my own God. That's what I was before conversion. And that's what you are today, unless you're born again by the Holy Spirit. And that's why the Bible declares we are in enmity against God. Bad news. And you're feeling, man, it's only the second Sunday in 2025. What an awful message to hear. Let's get to the good news, shall we? Point number two, the works of Christ. We have received peace with God. How? Having been justified through faith by the works of Christ. We were enmity against God, but now we have received peace with God, having been justified through faith by the works of Christ. What chapter are we in Romans? Chapter 5. Okay? And the verse 1 began, therefore, we have been just. When you come across the word, therefore, you must know, say it, what it's there for. Okay? Therefore, you come to the word, you stop, and you got to go back. You go back chapters 1 through 4. And 1 through 4 is this. The gospel of Christ can be summed up in one word. And that word is justification. Say justification. Justification. We are justified through faith. We were enemies of God. We rebelled against God. And we deserve condemnation and death and eternal punishment. But we are justified through faith by the works of Christ. The word justification is a legal term. It is used in the courtrooms. It's like this. There's a defendant accused of a crime. The judge declares at the end of the hearing, I declare you justified, innocent, not guilty, not blamable. That's what it means, justified. Now, in chapters 1 through 4, here's the deal. Victor Koh, accused of a treason. Victor Koh rebelled against God, the Holy One. Guilty, punishment, condemnation, alienation, eternal separation from the Holy One. The works of Christ is this. He comes down. He takes my place, the guilty. He pays my penalty, the eternal condemnation. And he imputes, he credits that standing to me. Though I am guilty, though I am to be blamed, though I am to be annihilated, the judge treats me as if I were innocent. The judge declares me not guilty, even though I am guilty, because Christ has justified me through his works. Do you follow? Okay. So therefore, that's how we have received peace with God. It's all works of Christ. It's all to his glory and to his credit. Hence, it was imputed. His righteousness, his good standing has been given to me freely through faith. So therefore, let's talk about some benefits. But before we do that, could you turn to your neighbor? If you're sitting by yourself, if you see someone sitting by yourself, invite them to no more than three, either two or three, get in groups and answer this question, okay? The question is this. How would you respond to the statement, you declare God your enemy and wage a war against him? Okay, quick. In groups of two or three. Okay, switch. Switch, please. Thank you. Okay, let's resume. So therefore, let me remind us, point two, we have received peace with God, having been justified through faith by the works of Christ. Now, the Holy Spirit, through the words of the Apostle Paul, very, very nuanced in that he doesn't say peace of God, does he? Peace of God is like when you feel at peace, even though the things around you are going not well. So, for example, that famous song, "It is well with my soul, it is well with my soul." And how does it start? "When peace like a river attendeth my way." The author of that song, he lost his 3 daughters in a shipwreck. And as he came to that spot, he wrote these words, "It is well with my soul. I'm at peace, even though I lost my 3 daughters, because peace of God that transcends all understanding will lead and guard my heart." Right? That's peace of God. Here, it's peace with God. Very different, meaning we are no longer at war. Peace has been declared, and God is no longer our enemy. So, what is the benefit? Thanks be to Christ. Number three, we have gained access to God through our peace with God. Because of the hostility, there was a war of separation. Because of hostility and because of the enmity, we could not get in to the side of the good Lord. But now we have gained access. Look at verse 1. "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand." Access. Do you have access to me? To our first-time guest, if you fill out that Connect card today, you will have access to me. You can send me an email. You can send me a text. Most of people in this church, you have access to me. You can show up at my office. Some of you do that quite often without any announcement. Thank you very much. Because you have access. I am available. But suppose, who won the game last night, by the way? Oilers won. Good game. How did McConnor do? Huh? What? McDavid. McDavid. Hey, I'm a football fan, all right? Leave me alone. How did McDavid do? Not well. Hockey fans, raise your hand. All right, okay, Eric. Do you have access to the great McDavid? No. Do you know his email? Nope. Can you text him? Can you show up at his door and say, "Knock, knock, and can I have come in?" And no, no, no. You don't want to get arrested. That's right, because you don't have access. Because McDavid is someone of a recognition, right? And who are you? Nobody. Or any fan of the royal family, because we're Canadian, we love, oh, Corn, okay, let me pick on you.
Do you have access to the king, Charles? Do you, can you call him Chuck? Do you have his email? What would it take for you to have a high time tea with King Charles? $1 billion. Oh, okay. You don't have access. Because that man is different than you. You have no access. And all of a sudden, what's my point? Because of Christ's justifying works of grace, you have access to God. The Holy One. I'm not talking about McDavid's of the world. I'm not talking about kings of the world. I'm talking about the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, the Creator God, the one who lives in an unapproachable light, the one whom no one has seen, the one who no one can see. You have access to that God. Why? Because Christ brought peace. That word access is to be brought near, to be introduced. Meaning, I can't go to God on my own. I must be brought near by some important person. Did you know an unbeliever cannot pray to God? I mean, they could, but it won't be heard. It won't be heard. Why? The wall of hostility. They have no access to the Holy of Holies. You can only be brought near to God. You can never approach God. And that's the benefit of being reconciled by Christ. Number four, another benefit of having peace with God. We have received the Holy Spirit through our peace with God. The person, the third person of the Trinity, Holy Spirit, we have received Him. Look at verse 3. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that our suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. This is how you know you have peace with God. The person of the Holy Spirit comes into your life. He lives with you. He resides with you. And this is what He does. He pours out, overflowingly, off the top, God's love for you. You will know, this is very subjective, you know in the heart of hearts that this holy God loves you, and only because the Holy Spirit. The only person who can say Jesus is the Lord is someone who has been enabled to say that by the Holy Spirit. Apart from the Holy Spirit, no one can say Jesus is the Lord. Apart from the Holy Spirit, none of us can come to Christ. Apart from the Holy Spirit, God will remain distant. You have no access to Him. And that Holy Spirit has been given to you. And one thing that the Holy Spirit does, He gives you hope. I know right now at this very moment as I'm speaking these words, some of you are suffering, confused, lost. Listen, the Holy Spirit in you reminds you, no matter what's happening right now, around you, surrounding you, the Lord God loves you. And He's giving you hope. And that hope, with that hope, you can overcome whatever you are facing. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Last point, number five. We have received the assurance of salvation through our peace with God. You have received assurance. Assurance of salvation through our peace with God. And my first charge in Michigan, at this church, I was fresh out of the seminary, young guy. I went to visit this older gentleman of the congregation, professor at the university, well-educated, born and raised in the church, has a unique name, Professor Eisenbard. At the time when I visited him, he was in his mid late 70s. I knocked on the door. He opened the door and he said, "Domine, please come in." You know what that means, Domine? Annika, Domine? Reverend. Very, very educated, very classy guy. Domine, please come in. Reverend, come in. Okay? Drank coffee, talked about his life, his faith, and then one thing left another, led to another. "What's bothering you?" He said, "Domine, the end is near. I lived my life as a Christian. I serve the Lord to my best ability. But I know I'm a sinner. I know I haven't done enough. And I am not sure." By now, he's trembling, his eyes tearing up. "I don't know if I'm saved. After all these years of serving God, worshiping Him, doing all the Christian disciplines. Oh, he served all right. He sure did." He said, "I don't have assurance. Because I haven't done enough. And I know I'm a sinner." I wish I knew what I know today. My goodness. Verse 6. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. At what time? When did Christ die for you? At the right time. And what time was the right time? What makes the right time the right time? How would you answer that question? Was it 1 in the afternoon? Was it 2,000 years ago? When was the right time? Again, what makes the right time the right time? Here's the answer. When we were powerless, when we were ungodly, that's when Christ died for you. You couldn't earn your salvation. You were powerless. You're dead in your transgressions. You were ungodly. You weren't good. I wasn't good. I wasn't godly. Neither were you. That's when Christ died. Paul gives two more evidences. Verse 8. Let's read it together, the memory verse. "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." What makes the right time the right time? When we were sinners, Christ died for us. Grammatically, something is not right with this. Do you catch that? So, Paul's saying something happened in the past. Christ died, Christ died, Christ died. When you were ungodly, past tense, past tense, past tense. And all of a sudden, in verse 8, what do you see? Present tense. God demonstrates presently, right now. He is displaying to you. He is proving to you. He is demonstrating right now, at this very moment, His own love for you. When you were sinners, that's when Christ died. Third evidence. Verse 10. "For if, while we were God's enemies," what makes the right time the right time? When's the right time? When we were what? When we were God's enemies. "We were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life?" That's the right time. When we were powerless, when we were ungodly, when we were sinners, when we were God's enemies, when we were cursing at Him, and when we were accusing Him of all kinds of evil stuff, it is then Christ died. What's my point? Your salvation was given by Christ. Your salvation was accomplished by salvation. Your salvation was provided, imputed to you by Christ. It wasn't yours to start with. So how can you lose something that wasn't yours in the first place? Your salvation was not yours. It was Christ's doing. So how can you lose it? Furthermore, when you realize the depth and the breadth of God's love for you, His total acceptance of you, when I was an enemy of God, that's when Christ died, then how much more will His life bring about goodness and fullness in my life? Will God forsake me? Not at all. He will never, ever forsake you. This will give you confidence, even though you are a sinner, even though you are unworthy, ungodly, when you approach God in the name of Christ because He has brought peace, you can say, "Thank you, Lord." And you don't have to work for it. You simply receive it, and therefore it takes away the pride. You remain humble. It was entirely a gift of Christ. No condemnation, no fear, no pride. Let's end with this. Turn to your neighbor. Ask this question. Do you have the assurance of salvation now? Why and why not? Shall we pray? Let's pray together. Lord Christ, our God, how can we thank you enough for reconciling us with God? You are our peace. We receive your gift actively, humbly, hungrily. We receive your gift, your justification. Thank you, Lord. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns His face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Holy Spirit, I pray for my friends in this room who are still your enemies. Humble them. Make them born again. I pray for the rest of us. Holy Spirit, help us to live in gratitude. Live in joy, and also join you on the mission of Christ so that we may lead many people to Him. In the name of Christ we pray. And God's people said together, please rise with me and sing this song.